Blog Talk Radio.
GLaDOS, come on now.
Come on, GLaDOS.
She says I start when I want to.
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom.
Good morning, people.
Good morning, Miss Corey. Good morning, everybody out there.
Oh, man. If you all would hear some of the stuff we're talking about before the show.
You know how crazy so-and-so is.
Yeah. All you crazy folks get talked about real bad before the show. And a lot of people are sitting there now going, I wonder if she was talking about me.
We were. We totally were.
You right there with the blue shirt? You specifically is who I was talking to. Guess what I got in my possession, Miss Jen?
What do you have in your possession?
More Secret World shots.
Oh, yesterday's were so pretty.
They're up already. So go take a look, you lovely people.
Oh, she's singing. Look at that.
Yes, I have to sing. Jay, boobs. The animal, like, shouting, boob, just boob, she yells it. And hello to our homie Slices. I love him in the 90s slang. That's like 91. My home Skillets and Slices over at Game Focus. I sat in with them last night on their podcast. It is not live yet, I don't believe. But when it is, we'll let you know. You can go over and...
Not live?
No, they weren't live.
But you know, in their defense, it's hard to handle the Corey live as it is to handle the Ginger.
True.
I just know all of us, we're... Yeah, sometimes you can't take us in that concentrated live dose.
Well, you don't know what we're going to say. Because
this is very true.
We will say some stuff we're not supposed to be saying, and you can't bleep it out when it's live. You can't edit it.
Oh, but come on, it brings in more listeners.
Well, that remains to be seen. So good.
Happy Tuesday to all.
It is Tuesday. It is Tuesday. And tonight is another episode of Pixanista. Yay.
Oh, you know what? My vitamins just hit my system. So I am now, my brain just went in five different directions. And it can be
that. That's nice.
I'm female, so I'm thinking about five different things.
Somebody's going to get cut.
No, there's no cutting. It's all happy sauce.
No cutting?
Okay, good.
It's happy sauce.
Mm-mm. Well, that's fine. I'll take up the whole cutting thing then.
Okay, well, I will find you and hold your earrings. Okay.
Oh, that's very nice. That's so nice. See, Corey is so awesome. I love my Corey.
That's right. That's how we roll here at
KTDR. We hold earrings for each other.
Yes.
And sometimes when we don't want to fight, we just tell Blaster to do it.
Yes, because Blaster definitely enjoys cutting people for us.
Well, he really doesn't have to. You know, he's so tall and big, they're just scared and they run away. So
it's true. Jolly blonde giant.
He is. Now he's going to cut us.
Don't cut me. I'm too cute to be cut.
Oh, I had to tell you. Okay, he got the game I was telling you about that I can't talk about.
Uh-huh.
He's all excited. Y'all, I just want to call Blaster out. Blaster bought a very expensive new computer. I'm not going to tell you the price, but let's just say none of us
fell out of our chair.
Yeah, none of us can even touch him anymore. His computer is like supercomputer. It's like Siri and, you know, the Matrix all mixed into one. GLaDOS, everybody.
So hot.
And then he says, we need to get together a play date. We can't play with you anymore. You
can kick our ass now. We're not going to play with you.
Like, our computer's at the Pinto and yours is the Ferrari. We cannot keep up with
the Pinto.
So,
all right, I got to pat my computer.
You're not Pinto.
I love you, Frankenstein.
That's my computer's name. I love you, Frankenstein.
Mine's Frankencomputer.
Frankenfred.
Yeah.
And that is my Ginger and I get along. Is yours open? The case is all off. It looks like somebody...
No. My little alien head. See, my case has aliens, but I did not have to pay the extraordinarily crazy price for them. I have aliens on my case.
Ooh.
My fans are all aliens.
Well, see, mine is all open because it was so super high-tech with the three fans in it, it still wasn't cool enough. So it is stripped down. It's like it's black on top, and then all the sides are all metallic where, you know, it's open.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
So she's Frankenstein. I kind of like the look, but everybody that comes over goes, what's wrong with your computer? There's nothing wrong with Frankenstein. Thank you.
See, why do people ask that? That is not nice. I'm going to go over and look at her baby. What's wrong with your baby? Did I talk about her like that? That make me cut you? Because they don't understand, man. My computer is my baby.
Oh, here comes the tweets. Here comes the tweets. Oh, that's you, Frankenberry. Okay, we got a lot of news, so we should probably
start.
News. Yes. Let me clear my voice. Let me clear my voice.
You're me.
We should both put on. I know we can't do that. It's Tuesday. It's too early. Friday, we give you all the foreign voice. Oh, no, that's Jay saying his computer is Frankenberry. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not Frank. Yeah.
I thought that was you.
No, I've got Frank and Fred.
And I'm Frankenstein and Frankenberry. We got a family.
Yes, we do.
We are a family. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's so hot. All right. This morning, we're already talking about stupid people, so we're just going to go right into this. GamePolitics.com this morning.
Sorry, I'm going to lose my voice.
Better targets of Mario in latest campaign. All right, so the picture shows Mario in his Tanuki suit with a, I don't know, what is that, some kind of koala or squirrel head, all bloody and whatnot. Anyways, a new game from the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, pokes fun at Super Mario Brothers. Trying to draw some attention to its cause, PETA says that its new game, Super Tanuki Skin 2D, will hopefully make Mario think twice about wearing fur in his games. In the game, which is part of its new Mario Kills Tanuki campaign, players direct a bloody-skinned raccoon dog as he chases a tanuki fur-sued Mario through a surreal fur farm where raccoon dogs are routinely skinned alive for their fur. All right, so PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Reinman says, Tanukis are real-life raccoon dogs who are beaten, and as PETA's undercover exposés show, often skinned alive for their fur. This winter, everyone can give raccoon dogs and other fabulous animals a one-up by keeping our wardrobes fur-free. By wearing the skin of an animal, Mario is sending the message that it's okay to wear fur. They also claim that the game informs people that in real life, Mario would be wearing the skin of an animal who was beaten, strangled, or electrocuted, and it wouldn't give him any special powers other than the power of self-deception. Of course, Mario isn't real life. Plumbers don't actually go down pipes and save princesses unless they are really high on prescription drugs.
That's hot.
But it should probably focus more of its efforts on the real world. Of course, some would argue that because Mario is such a familiar icon to so many generations that a campaign targeting him is good marketing. No, because you see, us gamers, we're just going to laugh at you.
That, and we are out killing squirrels. We are playing games. What is wrong with you people?
Yes. And all I got to say is while y'all are making this video game, do you know where the chips are coming from? What goes into getting those? You want to complain about the ethical treatment of animals? Do you have any idea what goes into farming the silicone to make your chips, to make your computers that you just made this video game on? You hypocritical, crazy people.
Let me quote my new favorite Sears commercial. It's raining cold hard facts up in here.
Seriously, these people drop on their head as children. Maybe
if they ate more meat, they wouldn't be so crazy.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah, I would there.
Oh, it's morning. I wasn't ready for that.
I was not ready. You have to warn me before you do that. Wow. PETA's, they're an odd bunch, to say the least. They're always going after people they shouldn't be. We're not wearing fur as gamers, and I am a fan of faux fur, not because of animals, but because I just don't like the smell of the real thing. I don't want.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the, you know, the smell of the fake fur. So again,
I'm sitting here next to my computer, I'm not going to be wearing fur.
No. Oh, next to the computer. See, this is why, PETA, you all need to do your research. Gamers are not generally wearing fur. We usually have on a hoodie. It's made out of cotton. So unless you're going to, you know, go on a campaign to keep cotton from being used, really not necessary. All right. Crazy people.
Well,
exactly. Call of Duty, more issues. Call of Duty Elite, let me be specific. According to GI.biz this morning, there is another tweet from Elite's official Twitter account that has cast doubt as to whether you will ever get a PC version of Call of Duty. Blaster, are you listening? The tweet stated that they are working towards a universal elite experience but cannot guarantee if or when a version will be available for PC. I'm sorry, y'all. Ooh. There's still nobody can get a hold of Activision for comment. This is what I mean. Wow, the vitamin just hit the system. It's like, go, go, go. Of course, Call of Duty Elite. Stop it with the tweets. Handpicked. Call of Duty accompanied the launch of Modern Warfare 3 and is still experiencing problems preventing people from logging in. The service has been down since almost launch day. Official Activision channels are citing over the subscription to servers as, over subscription to the service as their key problem. The service is being listed as intermittent, so you may get in, maybe not. Beachhead, the new studio, which launched earlier this year with Elite as its main remit, is said to be working around the clock in order to address the problem. Judging from posts in various forums, you all are pissed the hell off. you're complaining of lag issues, failure to connect.
Wow, that's not good. That's not.
And look, and the new Red Ring of Death phrase is now, the server has rejected our request. Menu graphics and inputs are also reported as lagging noticeably. Oh, well, people.
You people.
Of course, Daniel Suarez, who's the VP of publishing for Call of Duty, did do an interview last week with Joystick, and he explained the delay and how they were planning to fix the problem soon. He said, with the launch of Modern Warfare 3, it's been huge, and we knew it would be huge. It just translated into a tremendous amount of traffic to Elite. And we
See, it transferred into the y'all did not install the correct type of servers.
Wait.
Y'all cheaped out, and this is what happened.
Wait, so we anticipated it to be that big. It just turned out to be even bigger than that. You didn't anticipate anything, because if you had, you wouldn't be having this problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they said the high demand from console application and registration on the website from the PC really crippled the registration and login process, which then translated into the back-end servers being slammed. So
we have been hearing about the fight that was going to go on between VS3 and Modern Warfare for months. Y'all knew. You knew this was going
to
happen.
Bring it. And there, yeah, the people that were waiting for Modern Warfare were yelling at the VS3 people going, ours is going to be better. Yeah, you're not helping their argument. This has also caused a delay with the Mobile Elite app. Again, problems with the servers. They're keeping it off. They said they don't want to add any more stress to the back-end servers, so they're holding back on the launch of Elite Mobile apps until the service is stable and you can readily access it. Again, they have not been available for any type of further comment, so even though they're saying we're working around the clock, there is no definite time being released. Wow.
Fire license. I smell pants on fire.
Why is Jay talking about he just ate a pig? Pig and turkey sandwich. It was delicious. Come at me, bro.
We love our Jay.
Jay, look here. We don't want to have to roll up there and hold your earrings. Don't get the PETA people all riled up. Just say they don't eat meat, so they're apparently easy to rile.
Yes. That is totally the reason why they're, yeah.
I had almonds for breakfast. I'm for the ethical treatment of almonds, PETA. I don't appreciate you eating almonds. They're alive, too, when we eat them. They just can't talk.
All right. Oh, there's a competition going on.
Oh, yay.
A $12,000 Scorched Earth tournament for RO2 starts today. Forgotten Honor with Tripwire Interactive and the Wild Bunch are happy to announce the start of round one for our massive knockout tournament, Scorched Earth. This is the first competitive tournament for Tripwire Interactive's Red Orchestra 2, Heroes of Stalingrad, with a total of $12,000 in cash prizes.
Wow.
That is nice. Scorched Earth is a knockout tournament from Red Orchestra 2, Heroes of Stalingrad, played in the countdown game time. The teams have been selected. The draw is done for the first round. The dates are set, and the matches can start. with 16 teams entered from Europe and 16 from North America. The contest is now on to find the best in the world in this inaugural RO2 Clan Contest. All right, so if you want more details about the contest, including dates and the list of participants, I've got a link for you. Do you know what? I'm going to make you go over to GameMatrix.com to get it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. $12,000 worth of prizes. That is, that's nice.
I just want to stand next to the person who wins it and follow them to their car. All right. You may not make it to your car. Okay. Don't worry. It won't hurt. Pitch Black Games.
You push up the boobs. You kind of push them together. You give them the whole,
You understand me. I'm not going to hit you because they're expecting to be hit. I'm just going to flash you the boobs. When you drop the stuff, snatch it, run.
Exactly.
All right. So we're off out of control this morning. It's too early for this. Pitch Black Games is announcing their name change for their three-faction science fiction MMO Dominus. It was the MMO formerly known as Prime, Battle for Dominus, and now it's simply Dominus. That's hot. Pitch Black Games. The name...
Bad.
The new name is simply Dominus. Of course, Warren Weems, a president of Pitch Black Games, said that the market for MMOs is crowded, and we wanted to stand out... or we wanted a standout name. I don't know if you're going to stand out, honey. Their old name, they're saying, was just too long because we're getting ready for a larger scale beta and we want to make the change before even more people hear about us. You can check them out. Okay, I'll tell you where you can check them out in just a second. Let me, because this is really weird. Where are they located? Let me just, you're in U.S.? Yeah, okay. In Arizona. See, if you were in Texas, you wouldn't be having these writing problems. Okay, so Dominus is a science fiction MMO where players fight to control Dominus, the one planet where Prime is found in abundance. You can help your faction advance and grow by securing valuable Prime. The fate of the galaxy depends on you. Join us today.
What is Prime?
I don't know, but if you'd like to know, you can check them out at Dominus the Game. They also have a Twitter, Dominus MMO, and a Facebook, Dominus MMO. I am.
That totally sounds like you gotta go collect spice.
Collect 5 spices and give them to the mage on the corner that has the runes floating above his head.
Oh, girl. Ah, oh, that's what else I gotta tell you later. All right. Remind me later. Seriously.
Let me make you laugh. So, of course, I keep telling you guys about I went to Renfest 2 weekends ago. I did. Because I always make the joke, I feel like I've fallen into a live version of WoW or EverQuest when you go to the Ren Festival. I did walk up to a guy that I bought flowers for my hair, and I said, I have my 5 rune stones. I brought them back from my quest. Can I have my flowers, please? And he stood for a moment, he's like, you're a video game girl, aren't you? I am indeed. He says, well, I don't take rune stones, but I do take cash. Okay. How much do you need? Yes, lovely. We need a live action version of a game somewhere.
Yes. Actually, you know, I saw a wedding proposal done like that, and it was done to Zelda and all of that fun stuff.
Zelda? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. He had to kill, like, a bunch of mobs and whatnot. And the girls, I mean, because they had the girl dress up in medieval wear, and she's kind of standing there like, what is going on? Apparently, they're both geeks. They're both gamers.
Aww.
The whole scene where he battles all of these bad guys and saves the princess and... I don't know, opens up like a Triforce box and there's the ring.
Oh, that's so neat. That is love right there. Guys, see, that's how you do it.
Yes, yes, it was awesome. It was so awesome. And then he brings around the horse and he takes her off on his horse into the sunset.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, for me, I'm not going to accept the ring in a box. If you're going to do all that, I'm going to need you to, the box needs to have a PlayStation in it, an Xbox, 3DS, a Vita, even though I don't want it. It needs to have like $500 in games. You know, every game I love to take, so I'm highfalutin, sorry.
Yes, yes, gamer girls are a little bit different. You can keep the rings. I don't even wear them.
I'll wear it, but I need some other stuff to go with it.
I've got rings in there. I'm looking at it. It's like, you know what? I don't ever put the thing on because for some reason it starts annoying me while I'm typing.
Exactly. It gets in the way of you playing.
Yes.
I can't kill people with this on.
Gotta go.
You got to
go. Reason I do not have long nails because, you know, those pretty long nails, they get in the way.
This is very true.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Ginger?
What have I got?
That is a good story. What do I have? Way too much information for daytime.
So, Okay. Play and learn Chinese DSiWare.
Ooh.
SelectSoft, a leading developer of family-friendly games, announces Play and Learn Chinese for the Nintendo DSiWare service. Play and Learn Chinese is a fun find-it game that lets players explore while learning a new language. Find the pictures to match the words you hear and see how high you can score. Over 700 words and phrases and real environments such as supermarket, restaurant, and city will help you learn quickly and speak with confidence. Play and Learn Chinese combines entertaining gameplay with immersive environments so players can learn Mandarin Chinese in a fun and natural way. It's easy and effective for beginners and travelers and a fun refresher for advanced and intermediate speakers.
Yay!
I'm sorry. Play Chinese will be available on the Nintendo DSi shop on November 17th for 800 Nintendo DSi points. Somebody, for the love of Bob, get me a DS.
That was so cool. I want to learn Japanese.
Yes, Bob's holy noodliness.
You know what? No, ma'am. All right. No, Ginger.
Kitty Monster bust.
What?
What?
Can you somebody bring something in here for Ginger? She's got gamer Tourette. She's just yelling out random gamer phrases.
I love it.
Wow. Well, some of you are really excited, I'm sure, to know. Wait a minute.
Head of bread.
Okay, I thought I had something good for you, but I'm not. That wasn't all that exciting. It is one of our favorite companies, Paradox. So, but I thought it said something about Salem. No, it's not Salem. Breathe. It's okay. It's not Salem. Breathe. It's okay.
Salem.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Ginger. Yes, it's okay. It's okay. Breathe. Stop it.
But
it is King Arthur II. The role-playing war game is in beta.
Yay!
Now, Paradox Interactive and NeoCore Games have revealed the details of their limited closed beta for King Arthur II role-playing war game, their forthcoming real-time strategy game that'll be releasing on PC next year, between January and March sometime. Quest of Ages soon begins for the noblest of warriors and battle-hardened knights alike. Gamers can also discover glorious glimpses of adventures to come in 10 brand new screenshots of the game, which we will have up for you shortly, because it's just popped into my mailbox, so I don't have it yet. I'll also provide you a link to the closed beta. Do not panic. You can go sign up. Opening today, King Arthur's... Arthur's. Yeah, that's my southern upbringing. Cannot pronounce the word Arthur properly. King Arthur's Court will begin accepting applications for a limited number of spaces until midday on Friday, November 22nd, right before you get to turkey, PETA. unless you
I made turkey this weekend, by the way.
There will be no turkey for me.
It was
fried. It was so good. Chicken, PETA. if your mind is great and you are selected for a place in closed beta, you will receive a confirmation email on Monday, November the 28th. Stand up the ready for your shout.
Did you smack yourself?
I did on the chest. I forgot I had that whole fluffy cake issue. Okay, but for your chivalry, you will be called into action along with your fellow knights. Of course, King Arthur II is, a role-playing war game. Story begins long after Arthur pulled the enchanted sword out of the stone, united the war-torn land of Britannia, gathered the knights at the Round Table, and secured peace in Camelot, aided by the might of the Holy Grail, where legends normally end. King Arthur II begins its own gruesome tale. I'm trying to see what something. This is definitely a blaster game. It's real time battles, flying fantasy monsters. It is very pretty, but I don't know that it would keep me in for long. I think I've moved out of the RTS genre.
Yeah.
I spent too many hours playing Warcraft before it was World of Warcraft when it was an RTS. So many hours. I didn't even have a computer, so I was at a store. I would just take over the computer and play there for hours. They'd be like, somebody else wants to play. Whatever, go get me some coffee.
I love Corey. That's why I love Corey. Whatever. Can't have it. It's mine. Sorry. Should have gotten here before I did.
It was mine. So I think I'm RTS'd out.
All right. What have I got?
I'm trying to find something good.
A lot of really, really, really short stories today. All right, so A search for the brave and mighty. Apply for a spot in the King Arthur 2. The role playing.
Jen, yes, I did.
Oh my God!
Stop smoking the crack in the morning. We told you that.
I,
seriously, I don't know.
Crack kills.
Crack does kill. Seriously, pull up your pants.
Bad.
All right, what have I got? I don't know.
Ginger sandwich.
No. All right. Humble Boxatron debut pulls in $900,000.
Wow.
That is crazy. After a two-week run, 2 weeks, 14 days, the Humble Boxatron debut is now closed. So how'd it do? Humble Bundle sold 172,261 bundles for a total of $902,448.11. Making it one of the lower-earning bundles, but certainly not a comparative failure. All right. Some of the previous bundles, the Indie Bundle was $1.27 million. The Indie Bundle 2 was $1.8. Frozen Byte was $0.9 million. Indie Bundle 3 was $2.16 million. And Frozen Synapse Bundle was $1.11 million. The Voxatron debut included Voxatron Chocolate Castle, Jasper's Journey, Zen Puzzle, Garden and Gish. Those that paid above the average purchase price also picked up Blocks That Matter and The Binding of Isaac. Buyers dictated how their payments were to be divided up between the game's developers, Humble Bundle itself, and the two charities, the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Child's Play. Unfortunately, we do not know how the bundle's final total is being divvied up. The Voxatron bundles were purchased at an average price of $5.24. Windows users who bought the vast majority of the bundles paid an average price of $4.70. Linux users, as usual, had the highest average of $8.54. And Mac users, an average of was a devilish $6.66. Wow, us Windows users, we're some stingy people. Come on.
Well, we have a lot more to choose from. They don't have as much, so.
This is true.
But I do like some Linux gaming. Remember I told you Snow's laptop running Linux in Second Life?
Yes. With just picking buttons and taking names all over the place.
Yes, sexy. That is good gaming. I have never seen a laptop move, you know, with something that's so resource intensive. Just gorgeous. I stand corrected about you Linux people. I think I really do want that. All right. People. More interesting news.
Oh, yeah? Interesting news?
I don't know what's going on with Facebook. You all are like, they're like little chihuahuas with stuff in their teeth. They're still trying to, well, they may not be, but this is the way I see it. Zuckerberg is really, I think he's really threatened by Google. But anyway, they've put out something today saying their growth in gaming on Facebook now means that social network is offering what they're saying up to a niche audiences up to 100 million users, and this is according to Games boss Gareth Davis. They spoke in an interview today on GI.biz, and Davis said that he was over the past 18 months games. Why is it they cannot write today? They're not helping me speaking. game developers have begun to serve the hardcore gaming market in an environment that was recently just considered a casual audience, which is true. It says we have so many users now on Facebook that we have really big niches, 100 million niche users. Ginger, no prawn during the show.
But we like prawn.
No. So we also see the emergence now of companies on Facebook who are building what they're calling a core game, games targeted at people who play PC games back in the day, and strategy games. He says they're at quality level now, the same quality level now of those PC games, and we think that the area has really emerged in the last 18 months. Developers and publishers understand that Facebook offers multiple niches to Davis, and there are big enough audiences to make specific game genres profitable on the platform. He also says, I think we've really seen the game developers understand that it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's about different kinds of games for different audiences. I'm having to correct the grammar as I go. This is not cute. So we're seeing the broadening now of the kinds of games and audiences. You can be very successful creating different types of games, and you can make a lot of money doing it. We're seeing a real maturing of the ecosystem as people figure out the ripe opportunities and go after them. such companies such as Kabam and A Bit Lucky are currently chasing the hardcore crowd on Facebook, looking to attract an audience that already exists but hasn't been served the right gaming experiences. I think Kabam is the one that's one of the Gunshine type games, or or Gunsmith, or which I can't remember the name of the game. And I'm sorry, guys, because I do love the game, just haven't gotten to play it again yet. Anyway, you can go over and check it out at gi.biz if you'd like. Very interesting. I don't really like them saying they have a niche, though. It's not really a niche on Facebook. It's just kind of, I see the ad, I click on it. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It has nothing to do with what I necessarily like, because you can't tell what they are. The ads aren't long enough for you to know if you like it, you know, if it's a first-person shooter or if it's an RTS. You have to click on it. And as I was, when I was talking with the guys at Game Focus last night, it says, you know, it's kind of like the App Store. It's not so much as who's buying the game or who's playing it. It's how many times did you click on it? How many times is it downloaded? You know, because Rovio is another one that counts. Angry Birds, every time we download, it's 500 million downloads. But who actually played the game? Can I see who played it? Who downloaded it and decided they didn't like it and deleted it? Is it the people you need to be looking at?
Yes.
So downloads and clicking doesn't really count for much. It doesn't mean you have a specific crowd or a niche or anything like that. It's just I saw the ad and it looked interesting, so I clicked on it. Or maybe I wasn't even trying to click on it. I was trying to click, you know, the poke button.
It got in the way while I was clicking something else, because some of your ads are naughty.
Very naughty. You're a naughty bunch at Facebook. Very naughty.
Yes, yes, yes. Some of those that just move around underneath your mouth. It's like, could you stop doing that, please? That's not cool. All right, so here we go again. We've got more news.
With who? More news than you can stick a Wiimote at. There you go.
A Wiimote at. That's hot. All right, GamePolitics.com this morning. Microsoft says Xbox Live adds a new member every 2 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. According to Xbox Live marketing boss Robin Burrows, all entertainment will be interactive within the next 5 years. Mm. But his boldest claim is that Microsoft's Xbox Live service adds a new member every 2 seconds. Xbox Live launched in 2002 with about 50,000 users on the first day, eventually reaching 35 million by the end of last year. The launch of SkyPlayer in Europe, Facebook, and Twitter on Xbox Live in 2009, along with Modern Warfare 2, doubled the service's user base to 20 million from the previous year. And a launch of Kinect in 2010 helped add another 15 million subscribers. Burroughs says, we know already that users are resonating with the fact that game consoles goes beyond its usual remit. Burroughs also claims that over 75% of European console owners watch DVDs or Blu-ray movies on their consoles, while 72% download content. Another 42% of people use social networks, chat, and email to talk with contacts while watching a TV program or video. All right. I have to ask, Corey, do you email people from your Xbox?
No.
No, I don't.
Not
either.
Ever.
I might do voice talk while I'm playing a game, but I'm not going to Facebook. I'm not chatting. I'm not emailing from my Xbox.
Well, here's the thing. When they first added all that functionality, I had, you know, my Messenger hooked up, my Facebook and Raptor and all that. But because of the way that we all talk to each other, and Ginger knows, when we're not on the show, we're bad on the show, but it's like 10 times worse off. You know, we're off. And because there's so many children in my family, I had something pop up on the screen that was not appropriate for
us. Oh, no.
So I turned all of that off. So that's why I don't generally email. If I do send messages, it's usually a voice message, you know, hey, what are you doing? Are you playing? Or, you know, say something real quick if somebody's in the room with me. But I do not email. And it's a lot of trouble. I didn't want to buy the whole peripheral with the keyboard. I was like, this is too much. It's kind of the same concept as adding a keyboard to an iPad to me. Exactly. So generally I have the laptop in there. If I feel like I need to type something longer than, you know, come join my game, then I usually switch to laptop. But there's no full-fledged email or I don't watch – we don't even watch movies, I think, on the Xbox other than if there's something streaming and you feel like lying down, because generally I'm in this office a good portion of the day. Is where I would do everything, watch movies and eat and yell at people on the phone. And
Yeah,
so no, I'm not. I don't know what they're talking about.
I'll be editing pictures and have a movie playing in the background.
Yeah. I don't know, Microsoft. Yay. Another thing that they're doing, we talked about this a few months ago. And Jay, no prawn for you. LeBron. I'm going to address your corner time shortly, Jay. Microsoft has a new project called CodeSpace that combines Kinect and touchscreens for what they're calling the most awesome of meetings. The Wiley folks that created the Kinect and other cool projects have put together a project that could redefine the way that we all approach meetings. It's dubbed CodeSpace. The project, according to VentureBeat, will allow groups to collaborate using air and touch gestures with Kinect sensors and touchscreen devices, thereby democratizing access control and sharing of information across multiple personal devices and public displays. While it's still a very early concept, CodeSpace shows the potential uses for the Kinect beyond a mere gaming accessory. With its motion tracking capabilities, the Kinect sensor could be the key that would make Minority Report, I was thinking the exact same thing, Minority Report style computer interaction commonplace. Why the need for so many input devices? When a simple whiteboard could do for most meetings? Well, CodeSpace was created with developers in mind, so having a way to share information across devices could ultimately make meetings more efficient. For a simple PTA get-together where there's not much data to share, CodeSpace would likely be overkill. I don't think so because some people – well, it is overkill because some of these people out here tech slow. The project's design principles, of course, offers up some insight on what Microsoft's research hopes to accomplish. It said everyone can interact with the shared display from anywhere in the meeting space with any device they bring. This certainly, I don't know. I can't say. I'd have to sit in on this for a while before I would say, yeah, this is good. I don't see the purpose other than creating a whole lot of movement. And those of you who work in an office will agree with me. Some people, you really don't want lifting their arms and stuff during a meeting.
True story. Some of y'all,
not everybody understands the concept of hygiene when you're working with other people. So yeah. I really don't want you raising your arms or waving your hand about or doing any kind of gestures in front of me. Just sit quietly, keep your arms down.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So I don't know. I would really have to see this, and then there would have to be some discussion in the office. Okay, sweetie, this is soap.
And you know what's worse? We had to have a conversation like that with colleague once.
I told you this about my favorite story with the one I told you showed up in the pajamas. Yeah, and had not bathed. So yeah, I don't know about this.
Wow, that some people. I don't know what's wrong with y'all.
The thought is nice, but yeah. Good luck with that, Microsoft. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess it is. Is it my turn again?
It is your turn.
All right, my turn again. We always love that. All right, open up. Live Gamers gets $8.5 million investment.
Wait, who did you get? What?
Live Gamer. Live Gamer.
Oh.
Live Gamer has managed to raise $8.5 million in funding, according to a TechCrunch report. The new injection of cash comes from Charles River Ventures and Kodiak Venture Partners and takes its total investment to date up to $30 million. Live Gamer is an e-commerce company that gives its 48 million users access to its microtransactions and virtual goods sales service for various online and social games. We never used them. not that I've ever bought gold. Nope. The company has partnerships with a number of leading game publishers, including Electronic Arts, THQ, and Namco Partners, among others. In July, Live Gamer bought ad and gaming social network GameDNA and the engagement advertising platform Brandport. The Gamer DNA acquisition included a number of other properties, including editorial website Chris the Gamer and 360 Voice. The company said in July that it would continue to run these operations, but it looks like Chris the Gamer hasn't been updated since October. That's no good. We asked the company for further details on that part of the story, which we'll post here should they respond. Yeah, and that's over on GamePolitics.com this morning. Looks like they pulled it from GIFBiz.
All right, here's some not so good news before we have to go to break. Apparently, Nintendo's Wii U's online service may be powered exclusively by EA's Origin. I just crossed myself.
No, Nintendo.
Oh yes, I know. Nintendo could be looking for third parties to provide the online infrastructure when its upcoming Wii U console for its upcoming Wii U console, according to a report. I know, breathe, Ginger, it's okay. An anonymous source claiming to work at EA said the company is in talks to make Origin, EA's digital games distribution platform, an integral part of the Wii U online service. The previously reliable site Wii U Go quotes a source as saying that EA are aggressively persuading Nintendo to go Origins exclusive with Wii U's online.
My
heart is just hurting while I'm reading this, please. Despite impressive hardware sales, the online features of the Nintendo Wii have failed to match up to those of its rival consoles this generation. In April this year, Nintendo CEO Satoru Iwata, you know what, we're breaking up Satoru, commented that the future could have been different if Nintendo had made better partnerships with outside companies in the field of network services in the early stages of the penetration of Wii. Referring to the network services, he added, we would like to clearly differentiate what is our true strengths from what we can basically do by ourselves but can be done better by more skillful outside specialists. Such a position clearly leaves the door open for a third party to step in and support Nintendo's online services and its upcoming console. According to the source, Nintendo sees an alliance with EA and Origin as an opportunity to rebuild relationships with Western gamers because they feel that a massive Western company such as EA understands what is needed to make an online service attractive to Western gamers. No, Steam is who you need to be talking
yes,
to
Steam
if you're going
to
do that.
Talking to. Please, please, for the love of Bob, do not go with Origin. I don't want that. No.
And
as is, I've cleaned off my computer today.
As an exclusive partnership, of course, with EA would give an opportunity to gain a foothold in the console market for their Origin platform. It's good for EA. I don't see where it would be good for Nintendo, honestly, which has notably been used to power the hit game Battlefield 3 on PC. It would also be they're the publisher of Battlefield. I'm not impressed. I want to see them throw a third party in their system. And they're saying it also would be a shot across the bows of Steam. Yeah. The rival online service provided by Valve, which is reported to be keen on gaining a share of the Wii U market. Will you please go with Steam?
Yes, please.
Please.
This is not right. That's not right. Why would you do this?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you?
Mm-mm.
You dropped on your head. Nintendo, I love you. I love you, Nintendo. But I will so disown you if you do this. I'm not even kidding. Origin, really? Yeah, because that's all we need, is I want them to be able to spy on my Nintendo Wii just as well.
And see as... Oh, God. Well,
no, thank you.
This is... I'm hurt. I'm hurting.
A betrayed. Betrayal. We have been betrayed.
I need some pills.
You're going to want to see this.
Look, GLaDOS has a board, by the way. So this is as loud as it's going to go for you guys today. But we do need to grab some pills after that announcement. All right, it's time for us to take a short break while I heal Ginger's damage.
Yes, yes, that was like AOE damage. That was OP.
So you guys know where to find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerCoastRadio.com, of course. And, of course, you can listen to the rest of this podcast non-streaming after we're done crying.
I need some tissue. I'm sorry, I can't believe it. Oh my God.
I'm so hurt. I'm betrayed. The betrayal.
I'm feeling the sting.
You see, you feeling the sting of betrayal?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to start another song just to get this one to stop. Yeah, stop it. All right, we're going to come on back after break. I'm so hurt. I can't.
So hurt, so betrayed, so legit. Nintendo! You know better.
Maybe we can change your minds. It's not over. It's not over yet. All right, and just, again, so, you know, in about 2 minutes, we're going to shut off. But it's okay. Don't panic. You can listen to the rest of the podcast by downloading us in about 15 to 20 minutes or so and hear bad language and stuff. No.
And all our bad language glory. Yes, yes.
But what you got, Ginger?
All right. Need for Speed, the run races onto retail shelves.
Oh, yes. That's
awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best-selling racing franchise of all time is back, and the stakes have never been higher. Get ready to race your life in a heart-pounding cross-country race from the Golden Gate to the Empire State as Electronic Arts EA girl.
today announced that Need for Speed, the run, is now available at retail stores in North America. Of course, you know you're going to have to install Origin. Need for Speed, the run, has already earned a perfect 5 of 5 from Stuff Magazine, while Men's Health heralds the game for its killer racing action. What, you get nothing from girl gamers? Come on. Univision highlights Need for Speed, the run, for its spectacular cars and intense racing. And Game Trailers declares the game a blast to drive. Featuring an all-star cast including Mad Men star Christina Hendricks, Never Back Down's Sean Ferris, 2011 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Cup. I don't care. Yeah, anyways, it's on the shelves. I'm not going to read any more of this. I'm so disgusted with EA at this point. What do I care if you've got a swimsuit model in it? Just no. No, no. No.
Okay. Mm. Well, you know, we talked about that months ago. They had the girl laying across the cars, Sports Illustrated there. We know EA is a little off in the way they deal with their female gamers, and the uprising is coming, EA. The revolution will be
on. You know, apparently we only play The Sims, we only play girly games. And,
yes, yeah. The revolution will be televised for you when it happens, so you know. And you guys are old enough to know what that means, EA. All right, so here's some interesting thing I just ran across. So there's problems with your MMO. What's the best way to handle that? Delete it. Yeah, delete the whole freaking thing. Korean MMO. The name of it. Oh gosh, they don't even have the name. Mhm. Are you saying hi to me?
No. I'm listening to you, and I was typing in tags, and I started realizing I was typing in what you were saying.
Well, a particular Korean MMO whose name we unfortunately do not have, I think it's called was taken offline permanently after the game's data was deleted during essential last month. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, no. And there's no backup?
No. M2 was run by developer Senkando, and operator Handgame was taken offline on October 21st to deal with widespread data problems. This is coming from a report from IGX Pro. During the server maintenance, which ensued, vital information was deleted from the game's database, which could not be restored and had not been backed up.
Oh, no. How does this happen?
Oh, could you imagine if WoW was deleted?
Oh my God. Oh, the fight would be on. Oh, there'd be people suing.
Committing suicide because some of you are off.
Some of y'all are way off.
Yeah, because it's a free-to-play game, because it operated largely on funds from premium items, some selective compensation has been offered to players for lost purchases. One of the programmers at Codemasters is saying he believes it's most likely that it was not profitable and they wanted to kill it, so they figured it was cheaper to pretend data loss than to reimburse players who had paid for premium items. But it says that they're going to give them their money back, so I don't know if that's necessarily true.
I would hope they would, because, wow, I cannot imagine playing an MMO and just having it gone. Just dead. I'm just going to do my quest today. We're going to get together and raid, da-da-da-da-da, everybody meets at this time. Oh, wait, where's the game?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Not cool. Not cool. Oh, wow.
I'm hurting for you guys. I'm really, really sorry that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry. It has nothing to do with me. I would not wish this even upon WoW. As much as WoW irritates me to death, I would not wish this upon them either.
No.
Not even on EA, as much as we dislike them. I wouldn't wish this upon you either, to have your game deleted. It's just horrible.
Yeah, all right. I want to be mean and say, oh, yeah, I totally did. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, suck it. Okay, anyway.
Fucking EA. I love you, Corey. You're so awesome.
You love me because I'm evil.
Yes, you're evil. This is so sexy.
No. Too sexy.
And why? There we go. Sorry, my thing went closed. What I had. All right. Already read that one. What have I got for you? I have got Inertia. Inertia Escape Velocity to launch on mobile devices in December. Physics-based platformer brings unique mechanics and console-quality gameplay to iPhone and Android. And I love them because they're out of Austin, Texas.
Yay.
Yay. Independent developer Redfly Studio has today announced that Inertia Escape Velocity, the studio's first mobile offering, will launch on the Apple App Store and the Android Marketplace on December 1st. And this gravity-defying physics-based platformer, players will use the game's unique gameplay mechanic to manipulate gravity in order to float and glide through each level, navigating around force fields, barriers, and other obstacles, while collecting space debris for points. Inertia Escape Velocity is the spiritual successor to Inertia, a student project out of Southern Methodist University's game development program, known as the SMU Guildhall, which has awarded the grand prize for non-commercial games in the 2011 Indie Game Challenge this past February. With the creators of the original Inertia now part of the development team at Redfly Studio, a percentage of proceeds from the sale of Inertia Escape Velocity will be donated to an SMU Guildhall scholarship fund. Highlights of Inertia Escape Velocity include physics-based platform, employ a unique anti-gravity element to float, glide, and bounce around deep space environments, to collect space junk for ship repair, and to unlock a new planet. Console gameplay on mobile devices with high-quality graphics, intense and challenging levels, and a unique gameplay mechanic, core gamers will appreciate a console gaming experience on a portable platform. Control settings. The game uses on-screen controls for movement, jumping, and gravity control, but players can also opt to challenging tilt controls that turn the entire device into the controller. That is cool.
Yes, and
Inferno levels. For even more of a challenge, players can try their hand at these highly difficult versions of each level. All right, so again, this is going on the Apple App Store and the Android Marketplace December 1st. If you want more information about this game, I'm going to make you go over to GameMatrix.com and get it.
Mm-hmm. You tell them, Ginger. You tell them.
Totally tell them. Listen to me.
People with their late press releases. We said 11. Not 11:45, but I'll read it anyway. Jolly Blast Productions is partnering with NFL superstar Tony Gonzalez, and I'm also only reading it because he's really hot. Coach Tony.
Really?
Jolly Blast Productions is an integrated media and entertainment company that advocates movement, youth sports, and healthy activities for young children. Announced today a series of athletic adventure apps and e-books that will launch on the App Store this winter. The adventure series will feature an animated version of Tony Gonzalez, five-time NFL All-Pro tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, Atlanta Falcons. Coach Tony, will encourage children to get active and spark a lifelong love for games and movement. The benefits for kids who are educated and inspired to be active go far beyond the courts and playing fields. He is also the second leading receiver in NFL history and has several times been named one of the top 25 fittest men in America by Men's Fitness Magazine, which I do receive here because I like to look at people in the magazine. Just like woman porn. Okay. So whether it's an organized sport or a school playground activity or a made-up backyard game, kids who learn to develop discipline, teamwork, and self-confidence as well as physical health and fitness are enriched for a lifetime. He says a body in motion is always going to be the healthier and happier, and that's the message Jolly Blast is excited to share. Gonzalez, who starred in high school, in high school in football, basketball, and volleyball in Southern California, knows firsthand the positive influence sports can have on children growing up. He parlayed his athletic ability into a football scholarship at UC Berkeley, where he played on the school's basketball team. Mm-hmm. He was drafted in 1997, and he is now in his 15th season of a Hall of Fame NFL career. And, yes, ladies, as I said, deliciously hot. So,
nice.
You, mama.
You have fossil pictures.
Oh, honey. Yeah, they did not send any pictures. You'll have to look him up. Just, you know, Google Tony Gonzalez. Nice looking guy. but this is good. Those of you who are mama gamers, pop by GameMatrix.com. By the time you hear this streaming portion, this article will be up, and you can go see what they're doing. This sounds like a good cause, not just that he's hot, but I'm all stuck on the hot thing because, you know how we are here. We're very dirty folks here.
Yes, we are hot guys.
Yes, and we're very
dirty.
Dirty.
I took a shower.
Yeah, that does not count.
It might. You never know.
All right. If you're trying to catch him, maybe.
Yes.
All right, this is, what have I got for you? I have got a Putt-Putt game. Atari brings award-winning humongous kids edutainment games to iPhone, iPod, and iPad for the first time. All right, so Atari, one of the world's most recognized publishers and producers of interactive entertainment, announced today that for the first time ever, they will publish several of the most recognized humongous children's titles, including Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo, Freddy Fish, The Case of the Stolen Shell and Pajama Sam, Thunder and Lightning, Yes, and these are going to be onto the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. The beloved educational games for kids ages 3 and up will begin rolling out mid-November, kicking off with Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo. Next year, Putt-Putt will celebrate its 20th anniversary and has sold 3 million units since its first introduced in since it was first introduced in 1992. Humongous award-winning titles have offered engaging, fun-filled gameplay and amusing scenarios that enable children to build fundamental skill sets, including critical thinking, problem-solving, and memory.
You tell them, Ginger.
All right, so the three games, of course, are Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo, which I've got screenshots will be up in just a little bit. Freddy Fish, The Case of the Stolen Shell, and Pajama Sam, Thunder and Lightning aren't frightening. So if you're interested in this, yes, watch the Apple App Store soon.
Oh, they're so cute. Oh, yes. They're babies.
Yes, they're babies. You're so cute.
There's such good games coming out this year for the little ones. I'm so,
excited.
I'm excited because that cuts down my shopping time. I can just give them something to download. Here's it. Come for the asteroid, good boy.
And what's even better is these little kids already know how to do that.
Unfortunately, yes. Some of them know too much. Okay. Well, we got one more. I think I got time. I can squeeze this one in. And I have to tell you this because it's just juicy and I missed it somehow earlier. Woo. So Gareth Edmondson has left the building. Not that building. He's still alive. He's just no longer working at Driver. After 10 years. The name of the company is Extra Reflections. And he's left after 10 years. Ubisoft Reflection Studio head Gareth Edmondson has left the company. Again, let me repeat this. After more than 10 years as part of the team that created the Driver franchise, the studio was bought by Ubisoft in 2006 and most recently worked on the well-received Driver San Francisco, which I hear was excellent. Just haven't gotten a chance to play. In the 5 years since Reflections has become a part of the Ubisoft team of studios, he says that they've had the pleasure of working and creating together, or they say, with Gareth Edmondson as head of Reflections. Gareth has made the choice to leave the studio at this time. Ubisoft said in a statement, you know what, I'm going to give you all a heads up about that in a second. This is our team of talented developers at Reflections will continue their work on upcoming projects under the supervision of Giselle Stewart, a woman, studio manager, and Darren Yeoman, production director, until a permanent replacement has been. Why can't she be the permanent Gareth's brother, Martin Edmondson, who co-founded the company in the mid-80s, recently rejoined the team to work on the latest Driver title. Okay, let me translate for you. Mr. Edmondson was fired. When they leave the statement. When they have been fired or there is bad blood, the company says all this stuff. They try to make it sound nice because they don't want the negative press, i.e. Team Bondi. So Mr. Edmondson, I'm sorry that you lost your job. Good luck finding him. We hope you find
him. Okay. I'm sorry. I would not want to be looking.
Those of you who work in an office know exactly what I mean. When you've been fired, they don't let you talk because you're going to say something you shouldn't. Will you people stop it with the PRs? We said 11, not noon, 11 Central Time. Okay. All right, GLaDOS has completely taken over the board, so I'm going to pick something that's rather short because we won't be able to control when it comes. Otherwise, we'll have issues. So, time to take a ride on the garbage truck.
Yes, garbage truck.
Here we go. Just guess garbage truck. I don't even know what to say to you about that.
Ride on the garbage truck. I'll
take you for a kill it, Ginger, kill it. I'm a garbage truck. Oh no. I take you to the dump. Cause you're my queen. Take you uptown. I show you the sights, you know you wanna ride. I'm a garbage truck.
got it stuck. Truck, truck, truck. Well, there's a mansion inside. Drive right through the needle's eye. Oh my, 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 my. I got a stereo. You just gotta turn it on.
All right, Jen. Later, boys and girls.
If I can, I'll be your garbage man. I'll take out your junk.